The crutches, I know. I finally met a specialist, and the specialist told me that I've been taking my pills the wrong way all these years. And that's because I've been visiting three different family doctors, and they told me the same way. And so I realized that's what screwed me over. Yeah, it's all right. Then the foot doctor finally had me on a different plan of taking medication. Now it's a whole lot better. I feel better. I feel I don't struggle with gout as much, but then the uric acid that over the years built up, I had to take special medication to get those out. And so now that's in the process of that. Yeah. Other than that, I'm glad to be here, and I can tell you guys, I miss Pastor Larry already. I don't know if you guys miss him. It feels like he's been gone such a long time, though it's not that long. But today's message I want to focus on is the God kind of confidence. The God kind of confidence. And so we're talking about confidence, and this God kind of confidence, I want us to begin to look into Hebrews chapter 10. So Hebrews chapter 10, it begins with this. It says in verse 35, "So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. We need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay." Before this, I want to let you guys know my style of preaching is different from Pastor Larry, and you know, don't compare me to him. He's an awesome man. But today, I also want us to make a faith declaration. And this faith declaration, I want you guys to say loud enough in this that, you know, if the devil hears it, he gets startled. And he knows that you mean business when you say it. Yeah. And so I want you to say this: my confidence is coming back.
My confidence is coming back.
My confidence is coming back. So what kind of confidence is this? You know, the God kind of confidence. It's not the confidence that, see, we young people, we have this kind of confidence that we put on Facebook or Instagram. We take this photo and we put it up there, and we're looking at these likes, and as the likes build up, we feel confidence. That's not the kind of confidence that I'm talking about here. See, that's the confidence that is compensation. It's not real, and it's not true. That's not true confidence. I want that kind of God confidence. And so the Hebrew here, he writes to encourage the believers. And the believers here, just to strengthen this group of believers that are going through a really tough time. And during this time, when it's written out to these believers were facing persecutions and trials. And they need the confidence of God. They really need the confidence of God. So the writer here begins where he wants to have a focal point that, you know, where do you focus your confidence in the face of trials and persecutions? And it should be on Christ. You remember Peter when he focused on Christ? He focused on Christ. When he focused on Christ, he transcended the law of buoyancy. And he was able to walk on water. But it's amazing, see, when you look at what you could get above, it's just focus on Christ. So in order for the believers, these Christians that the Hebrew writer is sending his message to, he writes this in chapters 1, and he says this: "The sun is the radiance of God's glory. The sun is the radiance of God's glory and an exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his power, and after he had purification for sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven." So he became so much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. So this is a painted picture of, theologically, Christ is above everything. Christ is supreme. I'm not going to go to the supremacy of Christ, but, you know, if you look at this way, in simple term, Christ, Jesus Christ is better. He is better. He is better than anyone. He is better than the angels. He is better than anything you could drink. He is better than anything you could snore. He is better than anything you could chug down. And he is better than anyone you could date. He is just better. And he's better. Amen. And as I learned about my life growing, and I know I'm much younger than you guys, Yeah, much on some of you guys. Now, as I learn about my life here, and now I'm growing, I'm learning about confidence. I'm learning about this God kind of confidence. And as I learn that I am a child of God, this kind of confidence comes in the fact that I am a child of God. I fall into God's hands of protection when I'm a child of God. And that's already the confidence of God that I should be having. That's already the confidence of God. But see, the thing is that the devil comes, and when he comes, it gets tricky. Because when you're a child of God, you're already in God's calling, but then there's a difference between confidence here and calling. There's that difference. And when you're in his calling, no doubt, there's no doubt to that calling, but you begin to doubt your confidence when Satan comes. He comes, he will try to entrap you. He will try to tempt you. He will try to entertain you. And those things, then you begin to question your calling. But see, when you are adopted into God's family, you become part of who his child. You come to his kingdom. Satan has, the devil has nothing to hold against you against that. He cannot hold you. He cannot touch you. He cannot do anything to you. But only we can give what the devil wants. We can only give what the devil wants. And he wants our confidence. The devil cannot take away a calling, but he could come and attack our confidence. Each time you make a mistake, each time you sin, each time you fall short of God, each time you become weak, each time those times, the devil comes and will speak to you. The devil comes and will take the opportunity and try to make you even more disappointed than you are. He will try to plant in the seed of doubts in you. He will try to make you a failure. He will try to break you down that you never be accepted by God. And he will try and strip away slowly and slowly your confidence away. Even though you have this great calling, your confidence is being stripped away. You know, a believer without confidence is like this. A believer without confidence is like a jet without fuel. Sitting on the runway and just staying there, all that powerful equipment, not flying it, not go beyond above its circumstance. Or like a sports car that's lay in the garage, it doesn't have gas and it has all this powerful engine and all that power horse, but it doesn't go beyond its circumstance. It doesn't move. That's a believer without confidence. Ask your neighbor, got confidence? Got confidence? So Christians without confidence is a very defeated Christian. Believers without confidence are defeated believers. It is because, you know, essentially the center of a Christian life, it is the gospel. The gospel is part of that. The gospel is about confidence. The gospel is the thing that gives you confidence. The gospel is the thing that gives you confidence to come to the presence of God. The gospel is where, you know, it tells you that, you know, no matter what a sinner you are, unworthy you are, fell you are, you still could come to God the Father. And you're not enslaved by sin. You're not entrapped by the devil. It gives you confidence that death does not have power over you. It is confidence that you have the power and you have where you could come to the source of that power, which is Jesus Christ, and he is your strength. This is why the verse says in 35, do not throw away your confidence. You own that confidence. You have that confidence. You are only the one who has the right to throw away. So confidence is something already there. And I want to explain this unique confidence, unique God-kind confidence. Verse 13 says this, therefore, brothers or sisters, as this is written to the whole church, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. Since we have confidence. We have confidence if we may not have access to that. That's the idea here. That, see, we all have phones, right? I carry my cell phone with me in my pocket right here. My cell phone stuck. And for us millennials, we carry our cell phone everywhere. Maybe in your purse, maybe in your bag, maybe in your pants pocket, maybe anywhere you go, you have your phone with you. Some of us go sit in the toilet. Some men, we sit in the toilet. We have a phone as we sit in the toilet. I don't know. That was too vivid for you guys here. Some of us, we sit in the gas station, or we sit in a car, or even this is why we have text and driving problems, because we have a phone with us everywhere. And the phone, we take to bed, we take it to the store, we take it to even to church, we take it to work. We have phone to go everywhere we go. But do we really have access to that? Do we really use it when we have access to it? Do we really use it? See, we don't use it. We have confidence, but we may not be using it. And understand is that no one is a mighty steel, you know? No one is mighty steel. Some of us that we come to church today, we may come with spiritually exhausted and weak from the week. And we come, you know, lacking confidence. And the Bible tells us this, in Hebrew tells us this, have confidence. We have confidence to come to the most holy place. This is the place that I have to tell you back in the Old Testament. This is the place where the high priest goes, and I don't think even he had confidence in going to that place. It's the point he doesn't have confidence that someone has to tie a rope on his ankle if he enters in that, and someone pulls on the side. And in case, if he's not pulling back, that means they got to pull his body out. That's the holy place. It's so holy that God's presence is so holy that it will kill you if you're not spiritually cleansed. And we have that kind of confidence. The Bible says that kind of confidence, that God kind of confidence to the whole most holy place. I'm glad we're living in this, under grace, this new covenant. Because this under this new covenant, we could come to the presence of God. And in this new covenant, you know, when you come to church today, you're not going to come and die. You're not come. You could come as a sinner. You could come and be washed here. You could come here and be free here. And I'm telling you guys, as a preacher, if I come here, I worry about that. I may die too, you know. That's not the place. That would be like a high priest. I would be feeling what the high priest feel that day. So verse 19, it says, therefore, brothers, we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. And verse 20 says, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, that's Jesus Christ, our great priest, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance and faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And it says that he who promises is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful in the fact that sometimes I come to church, and I know that even my members, my congregation come to church, sometimes they feel good. They are unfaithful to God. And when you come to church, there are times and there are even moments when you don't come to church, you aren't faithful to God. You don't feel faithful to God. You don't feel like, God, today I do not even want to walk in your way. God, today I just don't want to do anything you say. And during that time, I'm telling you, God is still faithful to you. When you turn your back against him, he is faithful. When you turn away from him, he is faithful. God is faithful. This is the kind of confidence he has in you. He believes in you. He's faithful. He's faithful. But you know, this kind of confidence I want us to have in God, return back in having God. There are three points that really affect that kind of confidence, impact that kind of confidence. One is conscience. Verse 22 talks about conscience as this. And it's simple now to this. It is hard to have confidence in God. It's hard to have that kind of God confidence when you have a troubled conscience. It's hard for me even to preach if I were to preach for something that I'm not obedient about. I don't know, Pastor Larry, he's a great guy, you know. I admit I'm a weak pastor. And there's many things that I have a hard time preaching because I'm weak. So there's moments that before I preach, I actually stall the band because then I said, you know, I have to make right with God before I go preach up there. Or even in the moments I had to talk to a person, I had to wait and the band just continue on and the band just, you know, let the crowd go because then they have to wait for me because I have to make myself right with the person too. And there's things that come up that my conscience has to be cleared up because I don't have confidence. So what I'm saying to you guys is that if you today, you lose your confidence, it's because your conscience is violated. And when your conscience is violated, it affects all the relationship you guys have. The eternal relationship and then the relationship even in your church and your families. And when people look at you, you know what? You're going to have a hard time looking back at those people. You're going to have a hard time looking with your eyes at those people. You're going to have a hard time being comfortable around their presence. You're going to have a hard time because then there are unresolved bitterness. There's a needing of forgiveness. There are sins that you need to deal with. There are things that need to be closed. So during that time, the devil comes. You see, the devil comes, and it's giving him an opportunity to come. It gives him an opportunity to come because he's a master of traps. And he's a master trap of trapping minds. He knows that he can't take away your calling, but he could take away your confidence. And that is through your conscience. So he will tempt you. He will try you. He will even entertain you with something that will defile you, will defile and violate your conscience. And then when your mind and your conscience is defiled, you have no confidence. You can't go to the presence of God. Because going to the presence of God requires confidence. And the presence of God, you know, the whole circular thing is that to go to the presence of God, your conscience will be cleansed. And now you have no confidence. The most holy place, the place where God lives, the place where you make contact, the place where you draw to God, the place that is paid by the blood of Jesus, the place that where your heart is yearning to go, the place that sprinkle us and cleanse us from guilty and sin and trouble, violate conscience. That place is the place that your conscience need to go to. That place is the place that you need to go to. That place is the place that you have no confidence to go to. That place where God lives. That place that you need to go there. That's why, you know, coming to church is so hard, you know. Coming to church. You need church the most, but you can't come to church. That's why it's so hard to receive support from brothers and sisters in Christ at the most time when you need it, because it's so hard to come to them. That's why it's so hard to open your heart to God, because it's so hard because you're losing that confidence. Should I even go to church today, or should I even not go to church today? And that battle becomes in your internal part of your mind, your heart. And you lose it because the devil will tell you, you know, it's not even good for you to even go. People will judge you. People will look upon you. People will look down on you. And you begin to lose yourself more and more. And you begin to lose that confidence. See, there's truth to this. There's truth to the lies of the devil. The truth is that, you know, everyone's unworthy to come to the presence of God. Everyone's unworthy. Everyone, you can never beat God's standard. You can never beat God's standard. And the only standard that you have is because of the blood of Jesus. God won you over through the blood of Jesus Christ. And through the blood of Jesus, it is your confidence you have to have a relationship with God. And through the blood of Jesus that you can come to the presence of God. And through the blood of Jesus is where you can come to the presence of Almighty. It is not by the results of your deeds. It is not by the results of your achievements or your behavior. That you can't win. It is by the blood of Jesus. It is by the blood of Jesus I've received mercy. And when the blood of Jesus, when the blood of Jesus drops at that ground, mercy enters in my life. Grace covers my sin. God's compassion covers all my wrongdoing that I had done in the past, I am doing now, and also what I will be doing in the future. And I'm not preaching here to tell you guys that you have a license to sin, but I'm telling you guys here that you have confidence to come to the presence of God. How high? You know what? As child, as a daughter, as a son of the King, and you shouldn't have to fear at all. You shouldn't have to fear. When you look at your surroundings, when you look at the people around you, and when the devil looks back at you, and you look like you're stuck in this snare trap of the devil, you gotta shout, Father God, I need your help. I need your help. I'm in a crisis. I need your help. And you know what God's going to say? God's going to say, just come on in. Just come on in. And God just says, just come on in. God will say, just come on in, because he'll tell you, I know what you did in your 20s, just come on in. I know what you did last year, just come on in. I know what you did this morning, just come on in. Just come on in. Tell somebody, just come on in. See, that's the kind of God confidence I want you to know. I want you to know that there's no ability you have to go into the presence of God, but it is by the blood of Jesus Christ that gives you the right to go to God. The second point of what impacts that confidence is community. Community. The community is this, that when your confidence gets shaken up, when you need some people, this is the community. This is the community. We need godly people to remind us of directing us back to God again. That's the community. Tell the person next to you, I need you. I need you. Hebrews 10, verse 24 tells us this, that let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another and all more as we see the day approaching. So I need people in my life. I need you in my life. I need people that will see me emotionally when I am emotionally down and I'm spiritually low. I need those people that will come and will start picking me up and lift me up. I need those people that they see my heart day-to-day spiritual battles and I'm losing, wearing down. And I need those people that will bring me from that spiritual hell. And I need to see those people that they see my life, the light in me being drained out, being darkened, and being absorbed and fade away. I need those people there. That's the community. And those people there, those are the people that will come and say, how are you doing today? How can I get you up from this? How can I help you? How can we move forward? How can we push forward? That's the Christian community. So the thing is, allow yourself to be in this kind of community. Allow yourself to experience this kind of confidence in this community, because this is the kind of confidence that will help build your relationship, your walk with Jesus Christ. This is the kind of confidence that will help you overcome circumstances and struggles. Then this is the kind of confidence that you help and you get received from your brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's why the Bible says, let us not give up meeting one another. Let us not give up meeting together. Let us not forget these things. Let's come together. Let's come together here. Let's make the effort to come to the house. Let's make the effort to come to the church. Let's make the effort to come to meet each other. Let's make the effort to come and talk and eat together. And let's make the effort to come. So when you come to church and coming together, I want you guys to understand that you do not come to be alone. I know some people think that they come to be alone, and that's not right. You do not come to be alone. You come to be surrounded. You come to be surrounded. You may come to church feeling weak, feeling spiritually exhausted. You may feel tempted. You may feel you're losing. You may feel tested. You may feel tried. But when you come, you're coming because you're not coming to face these things alone. You're not coming to become alone. You're coming to be surrounded with people that will face these with you. You're coming here to be together with them. Tell your neighbor, I am surrounded. I am surrounded. So even when you fall short, even when you can't make it, even when you want to go back, I'm telling you here today that do not give up. Do not quit. You come too far. You should keep coming. Keep coming. And by faith, you grow together. By faith, you be on this with Jesus together. By faith, you're moving together. And by faith, you spur on each other and you spur in love and good deeds. This is the community. You are surrounded. The third is this. Three C's. Last C. What impacts our confidence we have in God is consistency. Consistency. Hebrews verse 25 says this. Let us not give up. Let us not give up. Mean this, undoing. Let us not give up meeting together. And it says again here, as some are in the habit of doing. So there's ongoing here as well. But let us encourage one another in all the day more, all the more as the day approaching. So there's a repetition of ongoing here, doing here, habit here. And so how do you keep this kind of God confidence? You keep it by being consistent. By being consistent. I know that we all struggle. I'm not perfect in my struggles, you guys. I am not perfect in that, including me. I am not perfect. I'm not here to judge those that can't make the church every Sunday. I'm not here to judge those that can't read the Bible every day. I'm not here to judge those that can't sing God's songs every single day and cheer him on. I'm not here for that. But the truth is that if you want to grow in your relationship with God, you want to be close to God, you want to come to the presence of God, you do not want to lose that confidence, you want to build that strong calling that you have in God, you got to be consistent in your spiritual habits. Be consistent in your spiritual habits. You know, Aaron Rodgers, one of the best quarterback, right, in the NFL? He's one of the best quarterback in the NFL, and you know what? He spent years before he even stand and start playing. He spent years just tossing that ball, tossing it, and tossing it. He spent years just tossing that ball. Nobody sees him when he's tossing that ball. And he spent those years just tossing this ball to increase his accuracy, to increase his speed, to increase his power, to be consistent, to be consistent. It's a habit of doing. And today he is one of the best. He's one of the best. So Christians, you know, we don't become one of the best Christians just without consistency. We don't have confidence if we don't have consistency. You know, I look back when I started going to church to now, and I consistently start going to church, start getting involved in Bible study, start getting involved in the church ministry, and I consistently put myself in serving God, consistently put myself in the presence of God. I consistently do these things, and then I see myself back then to now, I can see my growth. I can see that because my consistency. And consistency builds up your confidence. Consistency builds up your relationship with God. Consistency builds up all that. The 3 points, conscience, community, consistency. It impacts our confidence in God. It impacts everything that we will go before God. It impacts how we will perceive God. It impacts everything that we will have about God. And you know what? Bring it back to the devil. The devil will always try to attack our confidence. Even by the presence of some that do not come to church today, their confidence is being attacked. And they may be in a crisis. And when that happens, I want us to make a simple declaration today. Based on Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6. It reads this, and so we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? So will you repeat after me? So we say with confidence. How do you say with confidence in this, huh? How do you save with confidence? I want you to save with confidence. Save with confidence. So we save with confidence. The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. Let's pray together. Lord Father God, you're too big. You're too awesome. God, you're great. We ask that, God, as we live on earth and struggle with all kinds of sorts of temptations and sin, Lord, I pray that as those things that come and attack our confidence in you, Lord, I pray that you come and remind us truly that we are not losing our calling in you, God. And that confidence in you, it's always in our hands, God. That we should grasp upon it, Lord, that we walked in you, Lord, and that remind us and bring us back to you, God. And when we fail you, God, and lift us up from this failure, Lord, and bring us back to where you want us to be. Direct us in our path, God. Let our foot walk into your ways again, Lord. And Lord, keep moving us forward to you, God. Bring us back to your presence in your most holy place. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Amen.